Hi, I'm Nelson Searcy, and welcome to this updated and expanded version of Reaching Your Community Through Servant Evangelism. I'm very excited about this topic today because servant evangelism is one of the most powerful tools that you can use to reach more people for Christ. You see, God wants to grow your church, and healthy churches grow. And part of a healthy evangelism system inside of your church is servant evangelism. Servant evangelism can be part of a church's healthy evangelism system. It's a great way to mobilize your people in an exciting and non-threatening way to reach the unchurched. It's a tremendous way to build a positive reputation in your community. Plus, it's a lot of fun along the way. I love servant evangelism. I guess I first encountered servant evangelism through the writings of now my good friend, Steve Sjogren. And much of what I'm going to talk about with you today is learn from him. But it's also what I've learned as a practitioner, because now I have almost 2 decades worth of experience in leading people to engage servant evangelism. And I remain a fan, and I remain more committed than ever because of the powerful results. I suppose my story goes back even further to perhaps the mid-1990s, when I became involved in mobilizing thousands of people around the country in servant evangelism. Let me briefly tell you that story. At that time, I was in charge of a number of large youth camps, and youth from all over the country would come to one of these camps, and I wanted to give them an opportunity to do evangelism. But if you think about it, if I had released 1,000 people on a small town beach community and sent them out to do one-on-one witnessing, there would have been 10 times as many of us as there would have been people on the beach. So I started thinking, how could I mobilize groups of people to go out and do evangelism? And also, with limited time of only a few days of training or sometimes a few hours of training, how could I get the most reluctant of people to go out and do evangelism? Not just the students, but also the adults and the chaperones, which were fully 1/3 of the people in attendance. Well, this is when I came across the idea of servant evangelism. You know, I wanted them to be more than just hearers of the word. I wanted them to be doers. And servant evangelism was just the right fit. So I began to teach these students and these adults about how to do servant evangelism. And day after day, afternoon after afternoon, we would go out into the streets and into the towns and in the communities around these camps, which were often far away from major metropolitan areas. And we would sometimes serve hundreds and on occasion thousands of people through servant evangelism. And this made a difference. Lives were changed. People came to Christ. But then these students and these chaperones, they were empowered to go back home to their church and do servant evangelism in their community. And perhaps those stories were even more incredible, as now this one-time experience at a student camp became replicated month after month and year after year back in their local communities. This led to my speaking and teaching nationally alongside of my friend Steve Sjogren about the power of servant evangelism. And then if you fast forward into the 2000s, when I started the Journey Church in New York City, I began to think about how to use servant evangelism in a major metropolitan area. Because up until this point, the most profound experiences I'd seen regarding servant evangelism had been in less populated areas or more suburban areas. And what I began to think about is, how do you apply the principles and the power of servant evangelism and keep the philosophy of servant evangelism the same in a major urban area? But, you know, truthfully, as I was starting this church, I was a bit desperate. I mean, we wanted to reach the city. I wanted to do something for Christ. I had this young, struggling church with just a handful of people. So what could we do that would impact hundreds, if not thousands? Well, once again, I found the answer in servant evangelism. And I very much remember it was June the 1st that I did my first servant evangelism project in New York City. And it was one of the biggest risks that we had done to date. I invited the entire church to come out. And of course, at that time, that would have been 100 people, but we didn't get 100 people to come out. We got about 15 to 30 people over the course of 2 weeks to come out and do servant evangelism. And in those early days, we were making just a few dozen touches, or on occasion making 100 touches. And I will explain that terminology as we go along. But little by little, this began to integrate its way into our evangelism system. And we expanded our vision to eventually now we're reaching hundreds, making hundreds of touches a week. And then as our church began to grow and people that I was baptizing would point back to their first encounter with our church being through a servant evangelism project, it began to snowball. And I actually remember some months later, during 1 week, we made 3,000 servant evangelism touches. And I thought, what a journey this has been to go from 30 people making a few hundred touches to now mobilizing a significant portion of our church, making over 3,000 touches. And then shortly after that, we did a big push in our church, and by God's grace, miraculously, we made over 60,000 servant evangelism touches during the second summer of our existence in New York City. We had in-depth conversations with hundreds of people about Jesus Christ. And during that time, God sent people to our church, and we baptized people as a result of these servant evangelism touches. And our church and attendance doubled over the next 6 months. Now, this wasn't everything that we were doing. For more on the full evangelism system, you can see my full-length evangelism seminar. But it was a significant portion of what we were doing. It was a very important piece to what we were doing. And one of the reasons I'm so passionate that you've picked up this resource is because I think servant evangelism can be a significant accelerator toward your evangelism system at your church. It's one of the things that can keep your evangelistic temperature fiery hot. Well, as we look back on this, we were amazed at the results and we began to dream even bigger. And to this day, every year, year after year after year, as the Journey Church has grown and expanded and shifted and changed, one of the things that has remained the same is our commitment to servant evangelism. In fact, if you fast forward, we were about 10 years into our church, and around that time, we set a goal to impact 1 million people through servant evangelism. And our goal during this 10th decade was to make 1 million servant evangelism touches as a church. Now, the truth is, we didn't hit that during the year. We only made 880,000 servant evangelism touches. So I don't kick myself too hard because we made 880-something thousand servant evangelism touches. And in fact, what we did is we actually expanded the goal into the first quarter of the next year. And eventually we did make that 1,000th servant evangelism touch. And I can tell you every year since our servant evangelism strategy has been operating at its peak, I have baptized people at almost every Journey baptism who looks back and says it was a servant evangelism touch that God used to bring me to the church. And then as our church has expanded outside of the urban area of Manhattan into suburban areas, and we've started churches in less densely populated areas, or we started places in major suburbs like in Palm Beach County, Florida, or even replicated our church in other urban areas like San Francisco, California, we've seen God bring about these same results. Along the way, as I've championed servant evangelism through my coaching networks, I've had the privilege to mobilize hundreds, if not thousands, of churches to go out and do their first servant evangelism project in their community. And I'm hoping this will mobilize you as well. And today, I could point you to dozens and dozens and dozens of testimonies of coaching alumni who have seen the same results that we've had. They've seen people in their community reached. They've seen people in their church mobilized, and they found a new excitement in doing servant evangelism. And just like that rising tide that raises all ships, when you go out and you do servant evangelism in your community, it strengthens every other piece of your evangelistic system. Well, on this resource, what I want to share with you is some of the learnings and some of the lessons that we've gleaned. I want to talk about how we continue to use servant evangelism in our church and how you can begin to use it in your church and mobilize your people. You know, my adventure with servant evangelism has been a great one. In fact, in trying to put this resource together for you, I just kept writing down story after story after story of life change after life change, and I've really had to pick and choose what not to say. But let me tell you just one of the early stories. When we first started doing servant evangelism, in our church, making just 100 or 200 touches a month. I remember I handed out a bottle of water with an invite to our church on a hot day to a young lady who was standing outside of a hair salon. And she was out there on her break, and we were actually on the corner handing out these bottles of water to people who were mainly out exercising and jogging on a Saturday morning. But she was a hairstylist working in this salon, so of course, we offered one to her. She was a bit reluctant, and to tell you the truth, she was a very well-dressed, stylish kind of person, and you could tell taking a bottle of water from some sweaty church people on the street who were handing out invites to their church wasn't exactly her thing, but she took it. And because she was sort of memorable in her unique Upper West Side look, I remember preaching a few weeks later, and I could see in the back of our, we were meeting at that time at a comedy club, in the back of our comedy club, I could see this young lady with this rather unusual hairstyle stick her head into the service. She didn't stay, but she looked in. And it so happened that day my wife was serving as the usher in the back. And I said, "Hey, did you see that lady who stuck her head in?" She said, "Yeah, she didn't stay, but she seemed rather interested." And she said, "I actually was able to introduce myself to her, and her name is Trish." And I said, "You know what? I think Trish is the lady from the hair salon from a couple of weeks ago when we were out doing servant evangelism." Well, little by little, Trish began to come to our church. And she began to come into our church and begin to stay. She eventually became a follower of Jesus, and I had the privilege of baptizing her. Little by little, Trish began to come back to our church, and she began to stay through the services, and then she began to be a regular attender at our church, and eventually she came to faith in Christ, and I had the privilege eventually of baptizing her. And I watched over the next few years as she began to grow and she began to mature as a fully developing follower of Jesus. And she's just one of a handful of stories. In fact, I can think of another guy who now works for World Vision, but I could just keep telling you story after story of lives that I've seen changed. In fact, as I think about the thousands of people that have been baptized over the course of the life of the Journey Church, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that at least 10% of those would point back the beginning of their faith to a servant evangelism encounter. In fact, at least one of the church planters who has come out of our church points to the beginning of their faith journey back to a servant evangelism encounter. So this is powerful stuff that we're talking about. And if you'll think through the teaching that I'm going to lay out on this resource and think through how you can begin to implement it in your church, you'll find that not only will your church grow, because you will reach people, but you'll find that your current members, your regular attenders, will begin to develop a lifestyle of evangelism. Because servant evangelism is a way to jumpstart someone's evangelistic commitment and to raise the evangelistic temperature of your church. And if you'll take these biblical principles and the practical application that I'm going to give you, it will work. You see, God wants to use you to reach your community and to make a difference in His kingdom. So let's begin by looking at a definition of servant evangelism. So what is servant evangelism? Well, here's the definition. Servant evangelism is doing intentional acts of kindness with the express purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me give you that definition one more time. Servant evangelism is doing intentional acts of kindness with the express purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So servant evangelism is doing intentional acts of kindness, and so that's key. And then the second part is with the express purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So as you can tell, this definition is divided into two parts. The beginning is that servant evangelism is about intentional acts of kindness. Not random acts of kindness. I sometimes hear people talk about servant evangelism as random. It's not. It's intentional. It's planned. It's thought through. It's purposeful. But they're going to be acts of kindness that almost anyone can do. And generally, they're acts of kindness and projects, if you will, that you've planned that can involve a significant number of people. But then out of that, it replicates into individual actions that any Christian can do. In fact, a little bit later in this resource, I'm going to give you 12 examples of servant evangelism projects that you can do that all highlight the power of kindness. And don't underestimate the power of kindness. In fact, when you were writing down that definition and you thought intentional acts of kindness, maybe you struggled with the word kindness. But let me remind you that Nelson's Bible Dictionary, no relation to me, I assume that's his last name, not his first name. But Nelson's Bible Dictionary says that, quote, kindness is not an apathetic response to sin, but a deliberate act to bring a person back to Christ. And that's why the Bible says that God uses kindness, that it's God's kindness that draws us to repentance. It's why the Bible says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness. So living out the fruit of the Spirit means that you can engage in servant evangelism. So when you combine acts of kindness, intentional acts, with the second part of our definition, which is to share the good news of Jesus Christ, watch out, because there's great power when kindness and evangelism come together. In fact, some churches actually refer to servant evangelism as kindness evangelism or kindness outreach or neighborhood kindness. And some people have found just using the word kindness versus evangelism works really well. In fact, in the original book by Steve Shogren, the title of the book was Conspiracy of Kindness. But you see, when people get involved in doing intentional acts of kindness, there's great opportunity for the gospel to be shared. And sometimes the gospel is being shared through just a simple invite card back to your church, and we'll talk about those cards. Other times, the acts of kindness leads to a conversation that the person performing the act of kindness may be able to answer, or maybe they can direct the person with questions to you or someone else who's leading the project. But the point is, servant evangelism involves two parts. It involves service, that's the act of kindness, and evangelism, that's the sharing of the good news. Now, what I want to show you is why servant evangelism works. And then I want to give you some practical examples of kindness and evangelism together in projects you can do in your church. But make this note, servant evangelism works for five reasons. First of all, servant evangelism is biblical. It's biblical. When you're involved in servant evangelism, you're actually living like Jesus Christ. If you ever wondered what would Jesus do, Jesus would do because he modeled acts of kindness. In fact, he said his mission in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, is tied to service. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And of course, we know that's one of several mission statements that Jesus gave, including to seek and to save the lost. But service is part of it. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And many people believe that when Jesus fed the 5,000 or when he turned the water into wine, that he was actually demonstrating a biblical version of servant evangelism in its purest form, because that act of kindness had people pay attention to say, who is this Jesus? Of course, later on, it was the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, when he wrote, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." And then he continues, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And what was his attitude? It was an attitude of service. So servant evangelism is biblical in that it teaches you to serve, and it gives you a way to share Jesus Christ and the good news of Christ through service. Over and over, Jesus instructed his followers to tell people about him, to share this good news, to go and make disciples. As a matter of fact, that was his last words, for us to go into all the world. And servant evangelism is a way for us to fulfill the Great Commission. And when you bring these two threads of Jesus' teaching together, the idea that as Christians we're to be servants, and the idea that as Christians we're to go and make disciples, then you end up with servant evangelism. It works because it's biblical. The second reason servant evangelism works is that it's surprising. I love this. When you go out and do a servant evangelism project, an intentional act of kindness, people are often caught off guard by the acts of service and kindness that you do. Over and over, people have said to me, is it really free? Are you kidding me? I can take it. You're just here to serve. And this makes them more open to hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know, more and more as unchurched people are skeptical about the church, servant evangelism lowers the skepticism and raises their interest. Often when I do evangelism, people can't help but to stop and ask why. And then, of course, I respond, we're doing this because we're a church that loves this community, loves the people in this community, and we want to show you God's love in a practical way. I use that phrase over and over again, to show God's love in a practical way. Servant evangelism gives you that opportunity to show God's love. Even before they're ready to hear about God's love, we get to demonstrate it. And many people have this negative opinion about the church. They believe that the church is there to try to get something from them, or that the church only wants something from them. Well, servant evangelism shows that the church exists to give, just as Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. By doing intentional acts of kindness, the church is doing more than just being nice and surprising people. We're actually breaking down one of the major barriers that keeps people from experiencing, hearing, and saying yes to the gospel. Next, servant evangelism works because it's easy. You know, it is easy. Almost anyone can be involved in servant evangelism. I've involved the youngest child that can stand on a street corner or stand in a park and do a project, to the oldest person who is even physically immobile but can pray while the project is going on. It takes almost no special skills. But also, people can be involved because it's a great way for them to express the great commandments and the great commission that Jesus taught in Scripture. You know, servant evangelism is great for those who are first learning how to share their faith, as well as the most seasoned witness. And I found that some of the people most excited about servant evangelism are those who are brand new and have never done an evangelism project, as well as those who have been through other trainings like Evangelism Explosion or more intense witness training opportunities. And you know, 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully at ministering God's grace in its various forms. Servant evangelism is one of those various forms that almost anyone can use. You know, some people just aren't ready for some of the high-impact types of evangelism. In fact, church growth studies have shown that as many as 90% of your church will never one-on-one share the gospel with another person. But servant evangelism is so easy, almost anyone can do it. And any Christian is qualified to do servant evangelism. Fourth, servant evangelism works because it's fun. People have a blast doing servant evangelism. If you can get over sometimes that initial reluctance and just get them out there doing a project. And sometimes I shorten the training to the bare minimum needed so that we can start the project as quick as possible. And it's fun because people start working together as a team. And working together as a team makes servant evangelism fun because that's exactly what God created you to do. You're more happy when you're with others in the middle of doing God's will, when you're serving others and sharing Christ. It's what Christians were created to do. And so it's a fun team project, and the team brings a sense of fun. But it's also fun because you're making a difference. You know, doing a servant evangelism project gives you the opportunity to impact dozens or hundreds or sometimes even thousands of people. Once people get started, they find that they're having a blast. Laughter just bubbles up, smiles show up, and good times often accompany a servant evangelism project. And you know, while servant evangelism is fun, to be honest, it's not the primary motive for servant evangelism, but it's certainly a great benefit. And then a fifth and final reason that servant evangelism works is that servant evangelism is contagious. For many, servant evangelism is the first step or a supporting step toward a lifestyle of evangelism. You know, the most common expression or question I get after a servant evangelism project is people asking, when can we do this again? And I say, well, you can do it tomorrow at work. You can do it tomorrow at your school. You can do it tomorrow when you're going about your daily life. We don't have to have a planned project. Just look for ways you can show kindness to other people as you go about your day-to-day life. And you see, if you will take the initiative to start servant evangelism in your church, you'll find very quickly that it's self-perpetuating, that people will want to do it. We've seen this in our church as we have scheduled times where our church comes together to do servant evangelism. We schedule it into our small groups, and you can learn more about that in my seminars on small groups. We schedule it into the life of our church, sometimes through our preaching calendar. I'll briefly mention that a little bit later. We schedule it into our the life of our church through our calendar and through what we call servant evangelism Saturdays. But even though we have those scheduled opportunities, I always hear every semester of groups that just decide at the end of a group to go out and do a servant evangelism project. Or I hear about community service projects that once they're done, they then turn into servant evangelism projects. And I find that it's just contagious and it pops up in our church. And if we could add up all of the unplanned, from a church standpoint, servant evangelism projects that happen in our church, maybe we even double the number of people that we impact. But this, of course, leads to, what is a servant evangelism project? Well, the best way I know to teach you how to do servant evangelism is to share some servant evangelism project ideas. Now, before I give you 12 examples, let me first remind you of our definition. Servant evangelism is doing intentional acts of kindness with the express purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And let me just say that these intentional acts of kindness, 99.99% of the time, they're free acts of kindness. They don't cost anyone anything. You're paying for them. Your church is providing this for free. And most servant evangelism projects really just require labor on behalf of your volunteers. It requires very little money from your church as an outlay. But even if it does, it's minimal in comparison to the result. But it's intentional acts of kindness with the express purpose of sharing the good news. So with that in mind, here's 12 examples of intentional acts of kindness that will allow you to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me start with one I've already referenced. Idea number one. Idea number one is distribute free bottles of water on a hot day. This is one of my favorite servant evangelism projects because in every city and every community, there are parks and there are open public places where people go to exercise, they go to have fun, they go to play. And on a hot day, you can show up with a cold cooler full of bottles of water, and you can find a place to park it and to sit. And as people walk by, simply say, "Would you like a free bottle of water?" And bottles of water are cheap in various sizes. They can be purchased at warehouse discounts. And you can then offer this bottle of water alongside an invite to your church. And again, remember, it's not just the service, that's the bottle of water, but it's also the evangelism, which for me is a small invite card to our church. And this can be as small as a business card size invite, but more times than not, it is a 3x5 custom postcard that we've created. Oftentimes it's a glossy card that might be 3x5 or it might be 4x6. But it says, we're here to serve you. Enjoy this free bottle of water on us. If you'd like to learn more, it would give the information about our church. Or maybe it ties into some upcoming special day that we're doing. So maybe around Mother's Day, we would schedule a Saturday outreach that it would invite people to Mother's Day on Sunday. Maybe on the Saturday or two Saturdays before Easter, we would schedule a servant evangelism outreach and the invite card would be geared toward Easter. I'm sure you can figure out how to do an effective invite card, and I believe there's some examples in with the strategy documents that go along with this resource. But the point is, it is a bottle of water, that's the service part, with an invite to the church that is a simple evangelism part. And that way, if they show up at church, they're going to hear the gospel. But you know, you may give away dozens and dozens of bottles of water with people just taking the bottle and sticking the invite card into their pocket. But the truth is, some people will stop and ask why. And at that point, you can be ready to tell them you're doing it to share God's love. And then if they have additional questions, whether you as the person doing the project know the answer or not, you can direct them to someone else there. Or your congregation who's doing the project, they may not know how to answer the deeper questions, so they can hand that person off to you as the pastor while they continue to serve dozens more. And it's not uncommon for someone to be led to Christ right there on a servant evangelism project. They got the cup of cold water in Jesus' name, and they begin now to know the living water of Christ. So I love giving away bottles of water on a hot day, and you can do it anytime that that opportunity prevails. Now, I won't make this one of my official ones, but you could flip that away. I guess you could give away hot chocolate on a cold day, or you could give away hot cider on a cooler day, but you can come up with your own ideas. I'm just trying to spark something that might work in your community. But the bottles of water is one of my favorite. Now, related to that, and one that requires a little more intentionality, is my second idea, which is a free car wash. And by this, I do mean free. You know, even if people try to pay you, you do not take money. Donations are not accepted. It's an absolute free car wash. And servant evangelism is about doing acts of kindness with the expectation of nothing in return. And so if you have a church building, or if you have access to a prominent place where you could do a car wash, or you could pick a high traffic area and you offer to wash cars for free. And you know, a lot of people can be involved in this project who may not be comfortable talking to people about their faith. And while they're doing the washing of the cars, other people can be around handing out the church invite cards or the you've been served cards. The outreach cards, and there's some different names about that in the strategy documents of what you might call the cards. You can be as creative as you want, but people will naturally ask why. They'll naturally ask, who are you? And then you can give them the brochure explaining why you're doing the free car wash. And by the way, if you do the free car wash, you got to do it really well. So clean the cars nicely. Idea number three, give out sticks of gum or even full packs of gum at a ballpark. So at a Friday night baseball game or a football game or a soccer game, you can simply find a place where you can stand and give out sticks of gum or give out packs of gum. And again, you can find this very inexpensively at a local warehouse shopping place. And this is a very inexpensive. In fact, the sticks of gum may cost you about the same as the invite cards or the connect cards or outreach cards that you're using to go along with each one. Idea number four is to wash car windshields. Now, this is where you might go to an area and where people are parked, maybe a park and ride type area or some other parking area that's open, or maybe you could set up a booth and allow people to pull up. They don't get a full car wash, but you wash their windshields. And a lot of people would love to do this, or you could partner with a service station to offer this. And then if they're present, you would give them the kindness note, or you could leave a little kindness card under their windshield wiper that says, we washed your car today. Idea number five, one of my favorites, is find ways to beautify the community. Now, that's sort of a nice way of saying, go to a public place and pick up trash. Now, to me, this is one of the most in-your-face examples of servant evangelism. It's one of the most powerful ones when it comes to teaching people to be a servant, second only to washing toilets, which I don't get into in this resource, but my friend Steve Shogren makes much about in his writings on this. But when you go out into, say, a public park and a group shows up with rubber gloves and trash bags and they're going around picking up the trash, people ask why. They want to know who you're with. They're surprised by this ordinary everyday, they're surprised by ordinary everyday people who are taking time to clean up their park or to clean up their neighborhood or to clean up their ball field or to clean up the area of town where a lot of people hang out. And when they ask why, you simply give them that connect or that kindness card and they can learn more about your church. It's very humbling, but very powerful. Idea number six is partner with a local gas station to offer free oil checks or tire checks. If you remember the old days of all the extra service you received at a gas station, well, you can partner with that gas station and now provide that. And as people are out there pumping the gas, you can say, would you like us to check your oil? Would you like us to check your tires? And of course, this ties back to the free car wash windshields as well. Number seven, related to this, also working with a local gas station, is to hold a gas buy down. And this is where you as a church partner with a local gas station to pay the difference between the current price of gas and what you want to buy it down to. And so maybe you want to buy it down 50 cent off or 25 cent off so that that gas station can offer the lowest price gas in town. And then you can leverage this for tons of free publicity on the local radio stations or news stations. this is such a powerful project that I have actually a bonus resource in the download area for this resource called Conducting a Gas Buy-Down. We've done this so effectively that we've sometimes had to get local police to come out and direct traffic because they're lined up so far down the street. We've used this very well in suburban areas like Staten Island or Palm Beach County, Florida, and other places. And I've known hundreds of churches in Ohio and North Carolina and Texas that have done similar projects as well. And this project really captures people's imagination, particularly when gas prices are on the rise. So see the bonus resource for more on that. Idea number 8, pay for someone's dryer or wash at a laundromat. You know, this is a small act of service, but when people go into the laundromat, your folks can be there. And sometimes there's 4 or 5 in a city, and your folks can go there. And they can be ready with a handful of quarters, and they can pay for someone's wash or dry cycle at the laundromat. And the small act of service leads to conversations, and sometimes people just sit and talk the entire time their clothes are being washed or dried. You can do a similar project with parking meters as well, but often with parking, people are in a hurry, and they would just simply take the car. They don't have time to talk. A related idea is number 9. If you happen to live in an area where there is a highway that requires a person to pay a toll, you can pay the toll for the person behind you. And you simply give the toll booth operator the additional money needed. Often you can give the toll booth operator the outreach card or the kindness card and say, give this to the person behind me and tell them I paid for their toll. I found a lot of personal joy in doing this, particularly in the Northeast, where there are a lot of tolls, and I've literally had people pass me and blow their horns and wave because they can't believe I just did this simple act of kindness. On a more day-to-day basis, I hear people in our church doing this and paying for the coffee of the person behind them or paying for some other small expense throughout the day just as a way of showing kindness. And you teach your people to carry invite cards, and they can do this anytime God prompts them to do it. Idea number 10, hand out free light bulbs door-to-door in a city park. You know, everyone is always in need of a spare light bulb. And even though things have changed and light bulbs aren't quite as cheap as they used to be, you can still do them pretty effective. And if you can still buy them pretty cost effective. And if you find the most strategic area, it can be really powerful. You can give away the light bulbs and you can remind people of the light of Christ. I've seen churches buy up those little candles like you put in the windows around Christmas time. They buy them up when they go on sale at the end of this Christmas season, then they give them away at the start of next year's Christmas season, and they can give away Christmas light bulbs, sometimes 1,000 or more of these at just the right location, and it allows them to share the light that is Jesus Christ. Idea number 11, go to a crowded shopping mall and simply offer to return the shopping carts. You know, no one likes to have to take their cart to the cart return, so you can do it for them. And you can say, may I simply take that? And most of the time, you have to just take the card alone. But again, some people ask why, and you can give them the outreach card. Or you could schedule this so that everybody's wearing the church's T-shirts or jackets, and it can lead to some great conversations right there in the parking lot. Just don't get hit by any wayward cars. Idea number 12, one of my favorite, and I conclude with this one, is free batteries on time change weekend. You know, fire departments and fire control facilities have made it a point to remind you to change your battery in your fire alarm on the weekend that time changes. So we've printed up some outreach kindness cards that on one side talk about why you should change your battery on time change weekend, and then on the back, it invites them to our church. And you can often buy these 9-volt batteries in great bulk at a significant discount. And many times, places will partner with you. We've been able to partner with semi-pro ballparks and stand out front, either as people enter or exit, and offer these 9-volt batteries because it ties into the fire prevention idea that is already going on during that time of year. Now, these are just 12. And actually, I think if you counted, I mentioned about 16 ideas in with the 12 that I mentioned. And hopefully this has sparked something for you. In fact, maybe you want to take a moment right now and just pause this and set aside a few minutes and make a list of 2 or 3 servant evangelism projects that you would like to try over the next year in your church. And I'll give you some ideas on how to get this started. But once you have your idea list, what's next? Well, let's talk about what's involved in doing a project. To do a servant evangelism project in your church, you really only need five things. Here they are. Number one, you need a good idea. A good idea. I just gave you 12 okay ideas. If you finesse those, you could turn any one of those into a good or great idea. You have to just decide which one do you want to do first. And I would encourage you to start with one that's easy. Start with one that is a small win, a W-I-N, so that you can get a little win under your belt. You know, start with free bottles of water on a hot day at a park. Start with one that maybe is in conjunction with something your church is already doing. If your church already has an event in the park, then take 15 minutes on the back end of that event and go out and give away the free bottles of water, just so people begin to see it. Pick an easy project. My friend Steve Shogren, he often takes people out for their first project cleaning toilets. And I understand the idea, be baptized by fire. And if you have the personality that Steve has and you can pull that off, then make cleaning toilets your first project. But maybe you want to start with something much more simple, like the free batteries on Time Change Weekend, or the bottles of water at a hot day, or the bubble gum, or packs of gum at a local ballpark. Pick something simple. Get a good win under your belt. But number one, you need a good idea. And then once you have your idea, now you just simply need to secure the materials to implement that idea. For example, if you're giving out bottles of water on a hot day, you'll need hundreds of bottles of water. And if you live close by to a warehouse club or something like that, these can be great sources of really inexpensive. And I've even found sometimes you can get people to donate these kinds of items. Then related to that, you also need this information card about your church. You know, a lot of people have different opinions about how you give it out, but I believe for every bottle of water, they get an invite card. For every pack of gum, they get an invite card. For every car that we wash, the owner gets an invite card. And I make it a simple card, a small little flyer that can be there. And I like giving the card versus having a custom printed version of the bottle of water or some other sort of fancier approach. You know, I've seen people spend a lot of money doing custom printed bottles of water, only to find that after the person drinks the water, they throw the bottle away and they lose the invite to the church. Whereas I find that people drink the water and they stick the card in their pocket and they remember that long after they forget about the water. And so you're not asking for money, but you do want to provide some kind of connection between the act of kindness and the gospel. And that connect card, that outreach card or kindness card, whatever you choose to call it, invite card is what we call it. We make it simple. And so that people can learn more about your church, learn more about Jesus. Number three, you'll need a place to do your project. Now, if there's a car wash, maybe it's your own church parking lot. If you're giving out bottles of water, the place could be a nearby park. Whatever it is, visit the place first. Maybe send some of the spies ahead into the promised land to check it out and make sure that it's going to be a perfect location. And sometimes people often ask me if they need permission from a place before they do the project. Well, in my opinion, it depends. I'm not telling you to break any laws, but I am telling you to be strategic and to be as wise as... Is it wise as serpents? Okay. If you're doing a car wash, of course you're going to need permission. If you're going to do that in the church's parking lot, you need permission from the relevant people at your church. If you're going to do it at a local business's parking lot, you obviously need permission from that business owner. But if you're doing it in a public place where you're returning shopping carts or you're handing out bottles of water in a city park, I sometimes live by the principle it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is to get permission. You know, another servant evangelism project that a lot of people have picked up on now, including secular nonprofits, is gift wrapping around Christmas. I would encourage you maybe to move it off Christmas and do gift wrapping around Mother's Day or some other popular holiday, because you don't have the competition from the secular nonprofits. But there again, you know, do you need to ask permission or do you just need to set up the table? Well, you have to figure that out. But when we do our big outreach events in places like, say, Central Park or Riverside Park in New York City, we just try to steer clear of the park rangers and go about our business. And of course, if they ask us to move, we just move to another part of the park where they can't see us. But that's beside the point. I think we can cut that out of the recording. Then the last thing you need is you need to have a successful, or the last thing you need to have a successful project is you need willing servants. You need willing servants. You need people who are going to go out and serve and give of their time. So how do you find them? Well, let's talk about that. How do you find people to do servant evangelism? Well, let me suggest that you start small. Maybe start with just yourself, your family, and perhaps your small group, or one or two families that you're connected with in the church. Don't make a big deal about it. Just say, I've got this wild idea. I want us to go out here and to try this and test the waters. Do a small servant evangelism project first. Make it a covert operation. And you know, more people are willing to give a pilot project a try. And then once you've done that and you've had some success and you've gained some experience, then ask another small group to join you, or ask a Sunday school class to join you, or maybe get the youth group involved. You know, the youth group loves to do stuff like this, the student group or the college group. You know, ask them to join you. Another great way is that you have some existing team or committee in the church that they meet and they do business, but now you say, okay, why don't we as the deacons, or we as the elders, or we as the committee on committees, that's for all my Baptist folks listening, why don't we go out and do a servant evangelism project maybe after this? Let's just walk across the street and hand it out. I know one church that was doing a meeting one night, and their church was right across from a high school. And that particular night, there happened to be an event over at the high school. So they went into the fellowship hall and raided all of the cans of soda or pop or Coke or Pepsi, whatever it is where you're from. They raided every can of soda that they could find. And they went out and just set it up. And as people came out of the high school event that night, they said, hey, would you like a free bottle of Coke? Well, we're out of Coke. Would you like Diet Coke? Well, we're out of Diet Coke. Would you like Sprite or whatever they had? And that little team got so excited about giving away those 40 or 50 bottles of water that it led to them trying a more focused servant evangelism project. And of course, there's a lot of ways around finding the team. You know, maybe you want to listen to this resource with some of the people on your leadership team or share it with your staff. I would encourage you to do that. Once you have one of my resources, you have full permission to use it inside of your own church. And then, of course, if you're anywhere close to a Journey location, you're more than welcome to come and do a servant evangelism project with us. In fact, our original campus in New York City, we still receive mission teams every summer who want to come and do a mission project in the city, and we teach you how to do servant evangelism. Most of our campuses around and the churches that we've started, they have regular servant evangelism Saturdays. Just email me and say, hey, I'm interested in going to the Journey location that's near me, and I'll get you connected with that local pastor, and you can come and have a great servant evangelism experience with us. And maybe this is just two or three spies that you're sending into the land, but they can come and have a great experience in New York City on a Saturday morning, make a difference for our church in that city, but then take that back to your church. And then one final thought on this before I conclude with my five principles. One final thought is a great way to bring servant evangelism into your church is to have a Sunday where you teach on servant evangelism, you preach on it, and then you go out immediately, either that afternoon or that following week, and you do a servant evangelism project across your community. Now, I would encourage you to do this after you've done two or three projects and you've tested the water and you've learned how to train and how to mobilize people and you found places. But we did a servant evangelism project one time where we were going to deliver donuts to all of the fire and rescue and emergency personnel who were working on a Sunday. So this happened to be actually after one of our membership classes. But you could do it, especially, you know, depending on the size of your church. It's kind of hard for us sometimes to mobilize 1,000 people, but we could mobilize 100. And so if I remember correctly, this was either like a membership class or a discipleship class that we had right after church. And we had about 100 people at the class. And at the end of that, I came up and gave a 5 or 10 minute challenge about what servant evangelism is. And we had gone and pre-ordered I want to say around 45 or 50 dozen donuts. And we gave everybody a map with a location to a fire department or to an ambulance service station or to an ER. And they took 3 dozen donuts and got in groups of 3 to 5. And they went and delivered these, and they left the donuts, and they left some invite cards about our church. And they simply said, thank you for your service. The people at the Journey Church, we love you. We pray for you. And if you don't have a church home, here's where we meet. And a lot of people were just able to walk into the fire department and leave those donuts. We got some great pictures back of people. Actually, some of our folks were posing with the firefighters. Even a few tried to go down the pole, which I don't even think they have that anymore in most of the modern fire stations. But it was just go do it right now. Go do it right now. And I've seen plenty of churches preach on it. And then you've got a Servant Evangelism Project Tuesday night in conjunction with a ball game or Saturday morning out at the park. This jump starts it in your church. And remember, if you get the ball rolling, servant evangelism is contagious, and soon every person will be involved. So now that you have your ideas, now that you have your plan in place for finding the people, let me give you 5 principles that we've learned, some of these the hard way, for effective servant evangelism in reaching your community. So the first principle is that servant evangelism starts with you. You know, if you're not excited about this, if you don't have a heart for it, then no one else will either. So find someone to lead this who gets really excited about it, and I would encourage it to be you. You know, one of the reasons we've been able to impact millions, and I don't use that flippantly. I mean, we 1 year, or well, it was actually, as I told you, 15 months, but in about a year and a half, we once made over 1 million touches. If you add up all of the touches that we've done over all the years at the Journey Church, we have impacted millions. And one of the reasons we've been able to do that is because of me. I'm excited about it. And maybe you need to go and read some additional books about servant evangelism or study some additional materials about it. But I hope I've gotten you pretty excited about it right now. But remember, servant evangelism starts with you, principle number one. Principle number two, very key. I've referenced it, but I want you to get it. Servant evangelism is about sowing seeds. It's about sowing seeds. You know, you may go out and you may make a few dozen touches, which is what we call handing out a bottle of water or one car that's washed. You know, you touch one person or you touch two people. It's not a gospel encounter. It's not a one-on-one evangelism explosion type conversation. It is a seed that is planted. And remember, there's more to the gospel than harvesting. If you remember 1 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6, Paul writes, "Who is Apollos and who is Paul that we should be the cause of these arguments? We're only servants. Through us, God caused you to believe. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. My job," Paul says, "was to plant the seeds in your heart. Apollos watered it, but it was God, not we, who made it grow." Servant evangelism is about planting seeds. And sometimes it's about watering seeds. And sometimes it requires a length of time between when the seed is planted and when the seed comes to harvest. You know, people that you touch this week or next week, it may take them several weeks or several months or even several years or several touches before they show up. But if you don't plant the seeds now, you won't reap the harvest later. And then principle number three, servant evangelism must be totally free. People are going to offer to pay for the car wash, offer to pay for the bottle of water, offer to give your donation. Never accept it. If you do, you're actually taking that seed away from them. Servant evangelism cannot be earned. Just like grace, it's totally free. Resist the temptation. Now, it's okay to give them information about your church. It's okay to invite them to your next event, as far as that goes. But beyond that, it's an intentional act of kindness with no strings attached. Principle number four, very important, the principle of prayer. Prayer and servant evangelism go hand in hand. As you're doing your servant evangelism project, handing out those bottles of water with those outreach cards, pray for every person who takes one. Pray for the people who don't take one. Pray that every person you're going to encounter will be open and receptive, not only to your free gift, but also to the free gift of the gospel and to the invitation to your church. What I like to do is when I have people doing servant evangelism, I have a group out actually doing the project and another group who are doing the prayer walking around the group. And sometimes people don't want to actually do hands-on projects, but they're willing to pray. Or they're like the elderly, immobile person who would just come and sit and pray while we do the project. So this prayer and evangelism, it goes hand in hand. Or you can have one group pray while another group does the project, and then they switch every 15 to 30 minutes. But prayer is very, very key. In fact, the biggest difference between a servant evangelism project that reaps a harvest and one that doesn't is number four, the principle of prayer. And then the final principle that I'll give you is the principle of exponential thinking. And while I agree that you should start small with your servant evangelism, don't let it stay small. Continue to think big. You know, as I started, how did we go from making a dozen touches to making a few hundred touches to making thousands and then tens of thousands and eventually hundreds of thousands and eventually a million touches in a short period of time? Well, we continue to think exponentially. Now, we happen to be in a city where there will be thousands of people on a hot day in a park, and you may be in an area where a good day would be dozens of people. So it's all relative. But, you know, think exponentially. If you're in one park, think how could we be in three parks? If you're in one ball field, how could you be at all the ball fields? If you do one servant evangelism Saturday a year, how could you do one a quarter? Or how could you do one every month? Or how could you do one every small group semester? Begin to think exponentially. You know, as we developed our system, God challenged our faith. And each time we kept pushing ourselves to pay for more bottles of water or to pay for more invite cards, but God blessed us and returned it back to us. Because remember, evangelism is never an expense. It's always an investment. And even now, as I'm putting this resource together for you, God is once again stretching my faith and stretching our faith. And we're thinking more creatively than ever before and more strategically than ever before about how we can do more to reach people. And you see, once you have your projects in place, once you have some people trained, once you've completed your first few projects, once you've started thinking exponentially, this thing will really take off. In fact, as it takes off, let me just leave you with these last two thoughts. Don't forget to debrief after every project. Your first few projects aren't going to go perfect. So after each one, do a debrief and say, how do we make the next one better? How do we make the next one better? And then remember, after each project, always celebrate what God has done. There's always something to celebrate at every project. Celebrate the many contacts that were made. Talk about the meaningful conversations that you had. Talk about people who did a project for the first time and talk about the folks who were prayed for. And then the team gets excited and they'll get excited about the potential of servant evangelism and they'll begin to see the results and they'll see themselves grow, and that will become a very integral part to your evangelism system. So servant evangelism is so powerful. You can reach your community through servant evangelism. And you add this piece into a developing evangelism system, and watch out. So thank you for listening to this resource. Thank you for your commitment to evangelism. Thank you for being willing to make a difference for God's kingdom. I would love to hear your story. And if there's any way I can help you, either through my additional resources or through coming to do a project at the Journey Church, feel free to email me directly. And you can find that on our website. And also, if you want to go beyond this resource, a couple of resources come to mind. One is a resource I simply have called the Evangelism Seminar. This lays out in detail the full evangelism system. And servant evangelism is just one little piece of that full system. So if you have this resource, but you don't have the full evangelism system, I would encourage you to take a look at that. And then a related resource is one called the Ignite Seminar, which is all about the power of big days. And this is strengthening your evangelism system by maximizing your big days like Easter or the fall back to school campaign and things of that nature. And servant evangelism fits in really well when you structure it around your big days. So check out both of those. And then also, if you're that kind of pastor who's super aggressive, go to my website and click on the coaching tab and get involved in my networks. I have several different layers of networks that you can get started with. Sometimes as little as $1 will get you started. And then the one that probably most of you would want to look at is called my Senior Pastor Coaching Network. And I'm sure on the download page where you picked up this resource or in the accompanying emails related to this resource, you'll find information about it. But we want to be here to help you. So don't hesitate to contact us. Don't hesitate to call my office. That's the reason we have this ministry to other pastors. We're here to help you succeed, and I hope this resource is one little piece of that puzzle. God bless you again. Thanks for listening. See you again next time.